Hello and welcome to the Remembering Wildlife podcast series in partnership with This Wildlife. I'm your host, Amy Turner, and throughout this series, we have gone behind the scenes with the conservationists who have led initiatives funded by the profits from each of the groundbreaking Remembering Wildlife books, founded by Margot Raggett. The vast array of hard-working conservationists that have featured throughout these episodes have described how the funds from the Remembering Wildlife series have supported their work on the ground, and it's a true reflection of Margot's determination and the continued positive impact that Remembering Wildlife brings. Since Remembering Elephants, the first book in the Remembering Wildlife series, was published, more than $1.4 million has been distributed to 68 different conservation projects in 31 countries across Africa and Asia, North and South America, and also into Europe. And because of this, it's only fitting that we have Margot to join us today to close this Remembering Wildlife podcast series. So Margot, a very warm welcome back onto the podcast. You've just heard the recording from Jonathan Scott. Could you tell me why it was that you wanted to include safari etiquette in this podcast series?
Hi, Amy. It's so good to be back. And yes, I've just listened back to Jonathan's recording and also to all of the other episodes. It's just been fantastic hearing everyone's stories back. In terms of asking Jonathan in particular to come on, this is an initiative that he and Angie Scott have been pushing in the last couple of years. And as I mentioned in our opening podcast, Jonathan and Angela are in many ways the reasons I've done this whole series. They're my inspiration, they are my mentors, my role models, and behavior around animals, and in particular as well, behavior of photographers around animals is such an important theme that's very easy to forget, and I want to make sure that we covered it off in the series. And that's because our books are made of beautiful images taken by photographers who are out on safari. And yet I have seen the ugly side that Jonathan describes too. And I think it's really important to educate everyone, whether it's photographers or seasoned safari goers or even first timers, just to stop and think about how they are impacting the wildlife that they're observing. I've often said before that when we take an image of, if a photographer takes an image of an animal, we're not asking their permission. Unlike models, you have to ask for image releases, model releases, if you take a picture of a person, and often people charge for their time to have their picture taken, yet the animal has no choice in this. So I think it's incumbent on us to make sure we're treating the animals with the respect they deserve, and I really want to try and reinforce that from the series and for everyone that spends any time in the wild.
And if we turn to talk about the production of the Remembering Wildlife series, has the criteria for how you choose images in the books over the years changed at all?
Yes, it definitely has. And again, it comes from that behaviour around wildlife that I was thinking about. And you know, I think all of us, when we first go on safari and first take pictures, are pretty innocent. And we're also inspired by images we've seen before. So someone's got a fantastic cheetah running shot and you think, God, I want that shot too. Someone's got a lion walking shot. You think, yeah, I want that as well. It kind of inspires you to have a kind of list of images that you want in your own portfolio. But I realise that actually sometimes some of those pictures are being taken in a way that isn't ethical. So Jonathan was talking about vehicles screaming towards cheetahs when they're on a kill. I've seen that. I've been in one of those vehicles in the past, not realising the impact we were having, and then started to feel really uncomfortable about it. So actually, you know, more and more I tell drivers to leave a scenario if I'm not comfortable with how we're being. So I think I can't put images into the book that would encourage people to have bad behaviour. So, for example, in the leopard book, we've got one shot by a photographer I know is very ethical in how he works, of a cub being carried by a mother, but it's going from side to side. I saw plenty of shots, particularly in the competition that came in, of leopards carrying cubs perhaps towards camera, which are beautiful pictures, but equally that means that the photographer's vehicle was blocking the route of that animal, and I don't want to encourage that. So I'm very careful now in our image selection. I don't always get it right. Obviously, I'm not there when the photographer has taken the image. So I try and think, you know, was that shot taken with a wide angle? Was that person maybe too close to the animal than I would think is appropriate? I'm just doing my best that the series can kind of say be a good role model for people and hopefully just encourage everyone to stop and think when they're taking images. You know, am I in the right circumstance? Should we pull back at this point? Are we in any way impacting that animal? And again, that's something that Jonathan covers in the leopard book at the end. He talks about, you know, when you leave a scene, it should be, you know, beautiful pictures to reflect the moment, but not that you were impacting on that animal in any way.
And in terms of the photographers, what would you like to say to them, those who have donated their work for the series?
Oh, just unending gratitude. It's, you know, that we would be nothing without the collective work and creativity and spirit and passion that all of our photographers have got. And, you know, the people all over the world love these books so much and say it's the fact that photographers believed in me, that they back me, that they continue to back me. It's given us this series the impetus that it has. So deep gratitude to every photographer who's taken part. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And Margot, before I ask you that question about what's next, listening to all of the episodes, how do you feel about what Remembering Wildlife has achieved? Was it what you expected when you started out?
Most definitely it wasn't what I expected when we started out. And as I said in that opening episode, I thought I was doing a one-off book on elephants to raise awareness of elephant poaching. And what really struck me listening back to all the recordings is just the diversity of work that's happening out there to try and protect all different species of animals. So there is a lot of commonality in the threats that they're facing, and they all come back to ultimately human caused, whether it's poaching or the illegal wildlife trade or habitat loss or environmental kind of, you know, climate change. All of those issues are caused by humans. But there's just amazing people out there doing all sorts of fantastic work. And it's, if I'm allowed to say, it's kind of made me proud to just hear the diversity of what we're supporting. And you know, often you don't stop and think and take stock of what you've done, but to hear such a lot of projects all over the world that we've been able to support thanks to all of the people that support us, it does give me a little kind of shiver of pride. But I hope it gives everyone who's bought one of our books, who's supported us in some way, pride too, because it's because of all of you, the photographers, all the supporters, that we've been able to kind of create a movement always and almost and achieve what we have so far.
Absolutely. It truly is an extraordinary series and it is a movement, as you say. And on that note, Margot, what is next for Remembering Wildlife?
Well, I said to you in my opener that I wasn't going to reveal the next species, and I remain steadfast in that. What I would like to say is, you know, again, having heard back all of this, it just gives me kind of fuel to my fire to keep going. And what I can promise is, you know, as long as there is support out there and people want to buy these books, you know, I will keep going and doing my very best. And I think we will diversify the series a bit more in terms of things like this podcast series, which we've never done before. And we also started doing a little bit of conservation tourism as well. So we did the Elephant Festival last year for the first time, which was a huge success. So expect a few more kind of conservation-based safaris where we actually go and visit projects and see work that's being done. I just want to keep going and to grow it as much as I can so we can support these amazing organisations. Because as I said at the beginning, if you know, we all need to keep fighting, and if what we've got here allows us to support them to do the great work they're doing, then it's just kind of incumbent on me. I have to keep going.
It really has been an absolute honour to work on this series with you and to have had the opportunity to speak with the outstanding organisations that have been supported by Remembering Wildlife. And I just wish you all the best on the next chapter of this journey.
Thanks so much, Amy, and thanks for all your hard work. You've done a terrific job and I really appreciate it. So, Amy, I'm going to turn the tables on you now. You've recorded 10 episodes for us. I think you've spoken to 20 different people, and I'm really interested to know, you know, are there threads or commonalities that have struck you in this recording, and any thoughts from you?
Well, Margot, it's been an honour to have spoken with such an array of individuals, each with their own stories. And firstly, it struck me that the experiences of our guests are extraordinary, but go very much under the radar most of the time. This isn't a game. This isn't something from a film. This really is the reality of conservation. And it reflects the conservationists and how they're working most often in silence to save these species. Whether that's Afir Drori, founder of the Last Great Apes organisation in Cameroon, who rescued the baby chimp from being chained up as a result of the illegal wildlife trade, or Jill Robinson, founder of Animals Asia, who day in, day out is set a mission to get every single bear out of bear bar farms across China and Vietnam, and the philosophy, leave no bear behind. I mean, if that doesn't move you, I'm not quite sure what will. And the other thing that struck me is the theme of human-wildlife conflict that has been said pretty much in every single episode, whether that's Brent Staplecamp living alongside lions in Wangi in Zimbabwe, or Nick Murray from the Bushlife Conservancy talking about the dynamic between humans and elephants in Mana Pools, again in Zimbabwe. Clearly coexistence is going to be a crucial topic moving forwards and will be the next major threat to the world's most iconic species. And lastly, there are some hard-hitting, sometimes upsetting topics covered in this series. In fact, some of them have moved me to tears. But what seems to eclipse that is the word hope. I use it many times, and our guest speakers do too, and there's really good reason for that. They are seeing positive results from their work. And although at home it can sometimes feel like we can't make a difference because we may not be on the front line of conservation, but I think we absolutely can. And I think back to how Afir Drori, again, talks about activism and how everyone can use their own unique set of skills, find their cause, find their passion in their own local area and really create their own positive impact and drive that momentum. So if anything has struck me, it's been how inspirational our speakers have been, and it must inspire us all to create our own hope in whatever form that may be, because there always is a way. And I think Remembering Wildlife is just such a prime example of that.
Well, thank you. And I think you're a perfect example of using your brilliant skills to make this podcast series to make a difference for animals all over the world. So let's both keep going.
You've been listening to the Remembering Wildlife podcast series in partnership with This Wildlife. If you'd like to get your hands on any of the stunning Remembering Wildlife books, please head to rememberingwildlife.com. We are This Wildlife Podcast, and we're here to bring the wild to you.